good morning. What we decided to do actually last year, and this is a common idea for us as we kick off the year, is we've been doing some type of winter conference as an organization of churches for at least 15 years. I don't know if it's quite 20. I'd have to count. And it's been in various cities around the country. We used to actually meet. We started, I think, in Missouri at Tantara, which, and the reason for that was it was a summer resort, and we could get this screaming deal because no one rents a lakeside summer resort in the middle of winter, but we did, and so it was a great value and for that. And we've shifted around. We found that it was such a long drive for everyone that we did it in Omaha for a while and Des Moines, and this year our church in Des Moines said, well, we just don't know if we can handle that, coordinating that this year. It had gotten to be between 1,500 and 2,000 people at the conference, and our region, and actually really thankfully to Chris Biang, he said, he initiated the conversation with all the pastors, and we all said we don't want to lose that momentum of meeting together. Over the holidays, it's just a good time, and we know that not everyone can go. We have different stages of life. Some people are taking care of family and other things, or you're traveling, but we wanted to have everyone to have a chance to hear of some of the things that happened there. And so this is a similar principle that is actually used at the Top Gun Fighter School. Do you know how that works? If you're a Top Gun pilot and you go to fighter school, you're trained there, and then you go back to where you are deployed and you train the other pilots. So this, consider this your pilot training for the next 3 weeks. So this I'll just give you the premise. So this is the first time we've done this conference with this group at this location. So it was new, and so the title was called Fusion 2020. It was actually originally called Fission, but Chris didn't like that because that really splitting things apart, and this is the bringing together. So where did 2020 vision come from? And I'll give you this. This is Tom Short. He was one of the speakers at the conference, and this concept of the name of the conference, 2020, was really his, was that it goes along with the year, and when you have 2020 vision, you see clearly. You see clearly. And he said it's a good time to use that as a concept of seeing clearly from a biblical point of view, because some of these things are obscured. We don't see the kingdom of God, but the Bible says it's real, very real. And so the goal of the conference was to lay out a biblical point of view and all be encouraged in what God has promised. So, and a vision for our lives. So the first night was actually a night that was aimed at college students, so not everyone was there. And this is one of the things he said, Tom said. He said, if you do not have a vision for your life, somebody else will. If you don't have a vision for your life, somebody else will. And I go, well, that's really true, that you have a boss, you have other things, you will end up spending your life on something, and other people or other beings even have an agenda for your life. And so he says, the best thing to do is adopt God's vision for your life. So we're going to look at that together today and go into some other areas. So why don't we pray and we'll get started for today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for a chance to learn together. I pray that you teach me through your word. I pray that you teach all of us and help us to rally together around what you say and what you're doing in our lives and in our community. Amen. So this concept of a vision for our lives, the thing that Tom kicked off with on Friday night, I thought was a very interesting concept, because I relate pretty strongly to people and people around me and things people say. I think I read people like reasonably well. The thing I've noticed, like if someone's upset, ever notice when someone's upset, they don't even have to say something, but you can tell they're not happy. You know, and I go, why? So, and some people are more in tune to that. And I read that, and I read a lot of things here on the earth and people. And Tom laid out this concept, which is very interesting. He said, there was a rebellion against God. There was a rebellion against God. And the rebellion actually didn't start with people. It started in the kingdom of heaven. It started with the angels. It started with the devil, who decided at some point before we were all here that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be his own God and to say how things were. That was a rebellion. God had a structure of how things work, and all the angels were to serve him. And there were the devils and said, I want to do certain things my own way and be my own God. And that rebellion came to the earth, and the whole earth is part of that rebellion. All of it. And I go, well, that's kind of a radical concept to think about the whole earth and all the people, and God is calling people out of the rebellion. Leave the rebellion. So I was looking at some verses that talk about this, and Jesus just talks about this a little bit in John chapter 12. His main goal isn't to talk about this. Jesus is talking about the way things are in John chapter 12. And he's talking to the disciples about not being with them too much longer. And I want to look at this. He talks about this in John 12. Let's look at a few of these verses. He says, now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So there's a ruler of the world, and he's talking about the devil. He says there's a judgment of the world coming. So what he's saying is the world isn't okay. The world we live in, the things around us, it's in rebellion. The ruler of the world is in rebellion against God, and he will be cast out. So Jesus is talking about the way things really are, and he's telling the disciples what to do. Look at this. Next verse. The light is among you for a little while. Oh, sorry, a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. How you live, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The world encompasses all this darkness. When you have the light, walk in the light. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. So Jesus is talking about these two kingdoms. He's going, the whole world is in darkness. The whole world, all the people, the world, the ruler of the world, this whole is in rebellion against law, against God. And it's all going its own way. And I go, wow, that is a radical concept. If you're going to be a Christian, you're living in the light, you're following in the light, you're walking in the light. He's saying, don't get caught up in the world. Be in the light. So this was the concept that Tom laid out, that the whole world is in rebellion. And I go, well, it's good to think about. That is the truth. And the devil uses several things to try to make it look like it's not really that way. Lies, confusion, deception. To go, well, the world is just where we live. We're just living our lives here in America. It's just where we are. No, the whole world is in rebellion against God. So Paul talked about this to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a younger pastor who was trying to get a church established. Paul had started the work, and Paul is giving advice to Timothy to set certain things in order. And I want to look at this concept a little further. So Paul is giving advice to Timothy on how to do this, how to lead other people, and how to lead his own life, how to live in this way. So this is in chapter 2, and he's talking about how to do this and giving him some advice. He says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. So if you're going to be in here, in the rebellious world, evil is going to happen. You need to be. You're going to have to endure some of this while you're here. That's the reality of being here, correcting his opponents with gentleness. The world needs correction. It needs the correct perspective. He's telling Timothy that. And here's the goal, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. That is the honest truth of Christianity. To repent and turn from the way of the world, he's telling them that needs to happen. Look at this last part. And that they may come to their senses. Now let's be honest. If someone needs to come to their senses, what does that mean? If they haven't come to their senses yet, what does it mean? They are senseless. They are living out of the reality of the way things really are. Now, Paul says, do this with gentleness and respect. So this means you don't go up to someone and say, you are out of your mind the way you're living. That can be a little abrasive. Can be. But they're a little senseless, and the hope is they can escape the snare of the devil after being captured to do his will. Whose will is the world doing? They are participating in the rebellion. They are participating in the rebellion against God. And what he's saying is, don't follow in that path. Don't follow in the path of the rebellion, because the whole world, which is, and the devil is constantly trying to prop up that fallacy through deception and lies and confusion, that people go, what's this? We're just here doing our stuff. And it's funny, and Greg works in this industry now, that I have noticed, as I worked in construction and got some years under my belt, you become kind of a specialist. You know how certain things work. And I did a lot of work in oil refineries. And oil refineries, it's interesting, everything they make catches on fire or explodes. So it's actually very dangerous, some of the work. And that's why Greg likes it, because it's dangerous. So I had noticed that you have things right is very important. And I had noticed that sometimes, just with some things, that when I first started out, people would, they'd be very, well, I'm not sure how that works. Let's look at it. Let's develop a plan. But I had noticed when I had left the industry, it's just my, that sometimes people were very confident. They would go, this is the way it is. And I go, I don't think so. No, that's the way it is. I don't think so. And so we had better go check. And I had noticed that once in a while, people are very confident about the way things are, and they're wrong. And they're wrong. That happens sometimes. It happens sometimes here. If you're senseless, and I'm not trying to be mean, but some people can be very confident, be very bold, and they can be incorrect. They can be incorrect. I had many perspectives when I first became a Christian that I had been taught and I had believed, because that's all I knew. And over time, I had to move into a better place. And I did, because I believe it's more reasonable. But it was a process. It was a process. So this is the overall concept that Tom laid out. And part of the purpose of the conference, to try to encourage people to think about the whole world being in rebellion, and how do we live now? So I want to touch that a little bit, but now this is something that's probably different from me to you, except maybe for Mike and Greg and a few others, but I've been involved with our church movement, our group, since the 1980s. Which is a long time ago. So I have known a lot of these people, a lot of these leaders, for a long time. So for me, Greg says, well, he wanted us to put together, what did we get out of the conference? So for me, this is like a family reunion when I go to a conference. Now, we're a church family. You are my church family. We are, and you see this. When Mike said, all greet each other during announcements, what happened? I thought we should cancel the teaching. I go, what the? I said, everyone really enjoys connecting. You guys, you're all good friends. You enjoy that. And I'm looking around. I go, maybe we just shouldn't do the teaching today and just have a nice fellowship time. We're a family. We're a family. You are my church family. But this is my extended family. These are my relatives. These are my spiritual relatives. I've known them for a long time. And so that may be a little different because I've been involved and known some of these people for a long time. So for me, that's a little different. So because you're with us and you're in our church, you may not know them as well. So I want to, if you'll indulge me for a minute, I want to tell you a little bit about your spiritual family. Okay? So because we've never done this picked this conference before, I have taken 800 photographs for next year. But we are only going to look at a small portion of them as I show them to you. So, the first individual, jumped ahead. Our computers are a little old and struggling to handle all of these photographs. So, this is Tom Short. This is Tom Short. So, I've mentioned him. Tom has a national, international ministry. He speaks on college campuses all over the country. And what's interesting is Tom was doing this when I first came around in the 1980s. I remember Tom speaking at conferences when I first came around. There was hundreds of people. I don't remember where we were, but I remember him speaking at a conferences when he was in his 20s. I was probably 18, 19, 21. He's about 10 years older than me, I think. Here it is, 40 years later, he's still doing this. What a noble thing. He's still doing this. One day we were at lunch, and I looked at Tom, and I said, Tom, because he does this college ministry, so he kind of has a pulse on what college students are and what they're thinking. And I said, Tom, what are college students saying today? You know, what are they saying today that's different? And he says, you know what's common today? He said, you know, when I talk to college students, they tell me now, when I meet God, I'm going to tell him a thing or two, you know. And I go, wow. Now, because, you know, people, they say this today with this angst, like they're right, I'm going to tell God how it is, you know. And I said, what do you say to that? And he says, well, I tell them, when you meet God, you will fall on your knees and beg for mercy. And I came away from that, and I realized that Tom has a perspective of who God is that's more developed than mine. I learned that. I go, Tom has a reverence and respect for who God is, that when we see God, we will, and I go, wow, that is, and just the way he said it, it wasn't the words, but the way he said it, I go, there's a conviction behind that that is real. When someone says something like that, it affected my life. Tom is one of your spiritual relatives. Now, Tom left the rebellion of the world at an early age. And he is still serving in this today, in his 60s. So I want to tell you about another one of your extended family, my extended family. So this is Rory Whitney. Now, I like Rory. I've known him for a long time. He is one of our extended family. He is in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, Rory comes from a very large family. I forget how many brothers he has. And he has a large family, lots of kids, lots of grandchildren. And he really likes engaging with people. Now, Rory, he's kind of like a little bit of a cowboy, you know what I mean? And if you know him, and he wanted to be a rancher. He really did. He wanted to have livestock and a farm and acreage. That's what he wanted to do. That was actually his plan. That's what he was going to do with his life. But God, he became a Christian, and God put a call on his life, and now he's a pastor, and he's been serving as a pastor and speaking and caring about people. He left the rebellion, and he gave up the idea of being a rancher and having livestock. He gave up that idea, and he serves as a pastor now. He's one of your spiritual extended family, just like mine. So another one of your relatives, let's see, if we'll do a test here. So Robin, can you know who this is? Rob Gerber. Where does Rob Gerber live? Oh, very good. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Does anyone know Rob Gerber's profession? Yeah, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. What is he currently doing? He's a pastor serving in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So Rob is a very personal guy. He is personable. He actually came for several weeks in one of our leadership training programs, and we had a lot of college students actually staying here at the church, believe it or not, and he was teaching them what he knew about ministry, and he stayed with us for a while. He left the rebellion in the law profession and is now serving. He's one of your spiritual relatives. Mine too. Good friend of ours. Now, we're going to get a little farther away. This man, you remember this from the conference? Who's this? This is Patrick Nury. He is one of your spiritual relatives. Pat is a geologist by training. Now, this is one of the things that in my, I have two engineering degrees. I was trained in all the sciences. And I did not originally start out and think it was really reasonable to believe that God created everything, because I was taught in all this school and stuff that that wasn't the case. And I have since come to think it's really the opposite. And let me give you my... Oh, I didn't bring my phone. Who has a phone real close? Let's hear the phone. This is... Sorry, some of you have seen this example before. So this is my simple example. So if I... This is an iPhone 7. Plus, which is defective because it has no headphone jack. But if I walk along, and it does lots of things, it actually is my backup monitor for my drones. And now if I walk along and I go, oh, look, an iPhone 7 Plus. Do you know how this came to be? All of these molecules assembled themselves into this functioning device. Isn't it amazing? No, there's an intelligence behind this that made this. We know this, right? People designed this. I think the earth and people and the complexity of all of that is evidence that God is behind the design. And this is what Pat teaches. Pat teaches that the biblical account of Genesis is reasonable. He teaches that. He teaches that to homeschool groups and out west. And he was in Indianapolis and went out west to start a church and do his ministry there. And he's still doing it today. There's one guy I didn't have a picture of, and sorry, there's a lot of people who served, even in our church, and I just was able to get pictures of whoever I got pictures of. There's one guy I didn't get a picture of, which I didn't think of till later, is Jack Redmond. Most of you know Jack. And I want to tell you a little bit about Jack, because he's one of my spiritual relatives. Now, I've been going to these conferences for a long time, but when you first go, you know, ever go to like a dance and you don't know anybody? Or go to a party, you don't know anybody? In the beginning, I didn't know anybody. I was the new guy, you know, and you go once or twice a year. But the thing I found with Jack is he was very generous in relationship. Now, if you know Jack, he tells a lot of jokes and a lot of stories, right? And some of the jokes are, okay. But Jack was, I knew, and this is subconscious, well, I don't feel like I'd like to just connect with someone. I knew if I went up to Jack, he'd be generous, and he'd introduce me to other people, and we could have a conversation about life. And I learned that about Jack. And I found that I would naturally drawn to him because he was generous in relationship. And I like that about Jack. And I tell him, and I see him, I says, Jack, it's good to see you. Every time I see him, and it is. It is. So one of his co-pastors in Dubuque, this is Brian Mossman. Now Brian, this was at one of the seminars I happened to capture because it was in the main seminar room, one photo of Brian. Now it's interesting how Brian works. Now Jack, if you know Jack, now he's a co-pastor with Jack. Now with people you're working with, you can either find the good things, and there's some things, everyone has some annoying habits, right? Now, if you know Brian, Brian is generous in relationship too, but he has great respect for Jack. And he says that, he says, I care about Jack, he's such a good friend of mine, and I support him, I stand behind him. Now, he could say, Brian could say, you know, some of Jack's jokes are bad. But he never does. He could say, Jack has these stories, and we've heard them a long time, over and over again, but he never does. He supports Jack. He cares about Jack. It's a great picture of caring about each other. Brian and Jack are some of our spiritual extended family. They really are. And I see a lot of good qualities that I admire from getting to associate. So when I go to one of these, I go, you know, I'm going to get to see some of my family and catch up with them at a conference. It's very enjoyable for me. But I've been in this a long time. And so when you go, if we do another one of these, say hi to some of your extended family. I bet you you'll benefit from that. So one of the principles I see, and I saw this at this conference, I didn't really think about it too much, but one of the principles of Christianity that Paul was talking to Timothy about was passing the faith on, passing the principles on to a younger generation. And this is in, I can see I have this, this is actually 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 2. He said, you, my child, now this is interesting, Timothy was not actually Paul's child, but he was his spiritual child. He says, you know, you became a Christian and you're following me and I'm training you in how to do this. He says, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Entrust this message, these promises, what you've heard me say, what you've seen me do, entrust it to others. Take this and bring it to other people. I see that. I see that happening. We're doing that here. Let me give you an example. Oops, sorry, there's the verse. You guys know who this is, right? That is Tom Biang. Now, I could not remember. Does anyone know if Tom was born here? He was not. He was not. Tom, anyone know how old Tom is? 30-ish. Yeah, very good. That's what I said, 30-ish. No, that can't be. So Tom is at the conference. He's serving. He's doing music. He's not a professional musician. But he's serving with some of the team from Purdue at this conference and providing this here. The younger generation is doing that, what the older generation is doing. I'll give you another example. You may not know these as well. I don't know if you can see that here. You know who that is? That's Paul Johnson. That's Christy Johnson. Anyone know who that is? Neither do I. Popular bearded guy. But they're not professional musicians. They've learned to play some music, and they came in, and they're serving at the conference to worship together. It was great to have 400 people singing together. It was enjoyable to do that. younger generation doing that? Now, Paul and Christy left from Ames, Iowa. They're now in Rochester, Minnesota. Started a church there, decided that Rochester is where the Mayo Clinic is, and just all that, that's just growing very quickly. And two of our churches got together and decided to do a church plant. And they're doing that now. Now, there was a band that was kind of more of a rockin' band at the conference. You remember who that was? That was this band. That was not Steel Crossway. That was not. Now, this is the long-haired band guy right here. Now, it turns out this is part of your spiritual family. Now, I'm a little nearsighted. I'm in the back. I hear this voice, and I go, boy, that voice sounds familiar. This is Austin Drury. He has a band. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, his mother called me up at the church and says, my son has a band. They have a gig in Chicago. Can they stay at your church? I said, sure, why not? We have the building. Come stay here. He has a phenomenal voice. It's this gravelly, rock and roll, deep voice. Now, I'm in the back, and I'm going, I know that voice. I know. What is, who is that? And I hadn't seen him in probably a year. Went up and gave him a hug. I hadn't seen him in a while. And I said, wow, that was just phenomenal to sing together and see each other, and we help each other. We help each other. So it's part of us networking and working together. So I did learn with them. I did learn the first time. He said, hey, we'll be back. We're doing this gig downtown. And we'll be back about 11:30. I said, okay, I'll let you know. I'll meet you at the church. 1:30 in the morning. We're leaving now. So I've learned now that, now, I don't mean anything against you artistic people. But sometime you're very optimistic. So I learned. He calls me up the next time. Hey, we're going to be in Chicago. We're playing this thing downtown. Can we stay at the church? Sure, no problem. We'll be done about 11:30. No. You come and get the key. And you come in whenever you're... So I'll check the next day. So I'll come in the morning, right? I'll come in the next morning. And they're all sleeping. And I go, hey, anyone awake? What time did you get in? Oh, 2 a.m. Oh, too bad.
Test. Good. So anyway, this, I see that at the conference. I see the younger generation doing this, and we help and we interact and we work through the hard parts of life. Actually, what I wanted to show you, see this guy in the back there, the gray-haired guy? You know who that is? That's Austin's dad. That's his dad. They do some of this as a family. Serve together. That's exciting to me. See, families serving together. So one of the things we did new this year, and you know this, is that the older conferences, we never really identified the desire to serve children at the conference. And a lot of families start coming because they enjoy the conference, but we wasn't really aimed at that. So this year, we said, let's try that. And we're learning how to do that. And so the first thing we did is we hosted this at a resort. This is the Kalahari Resort. This happened to be a drone photo, which somebody took. And one of the things that this facility has is it has some activities that are fun for families. So they have an indoor, what you call that, jumpy thingy. Yeah. That's the technical term. And, of course, they have the water park there, which was fun. But we had a lot of structured activities, and this is where our church did a phenomenal job. And I wanted to commend everyone, and I'm going to miss someone. I don't have photos of everyone, but I have photos of a few of the things that so many people from here helped out and served and made it an enjoyable, relaxing time for a lot of families. It was just phenomenal. And I'm going to give you a few examples here that I got photos of. So if I didn't get a photo of you, I apologize. So let's see. This is, and I couldn't get a great photo of Janelle. Janelle is interacting with, what was your age group, Janelle? Middle schoolers. She had this group of middle schoolers she was engaging with in the main session room. And that was really a fun time. And I'll give you, let's see if you can recognize. You don't see this person too often. This is a little different. Who's that? There's Jim. I was thinking about this. Now, Jim is unusually gifted at this. Honest, Jim, what you do, I cannot do. As I'm an engineer by training, and I have, we must all obey all the rules in the tug of war. And it would be much harder to have fun the way I would do it. You are out of order. Jim is just, he's a natural coach. He is. I was thinking about this. When is the last time you've seen Jim anywhere not coaching you? I'm going, he does it all the time. It's how he's made. And he gives himself, and he's doing it here. As a matter of fact, he had a cold and he lost his voice, kind of like Mark did, but they're here serving. Isn't that amazing? He didn't go, I really want a break for me and my family. I want a break for myself. He didn't do that. That's an amazing example. Now, another example is we live in a technological world, right? So to do anything today, we use electronic stuff. So someone has to manage the electronic stuff. It turns out, for our size church, that we own a reasonable amount of electronic stuff. So to do that, you need electronic stuff managers. And here they are. This is from the back. This is Chris Yisley. Now, it turns out, try to keep the cost down, Chris owns some of the cameras and equipment, and he volunteered that for free. He actually also volunteered some of my equipment as well, which we brought to the conference. Now, we also volunteered to manage the information that goes on the electronic stuff. And two young men got drafted. This is one of my sons, and this is another one. They sat at this table the whole time. One night, we called one of my sons and said, it's 11 o'clock. Time to come back. We'll fix the rest of it in the morning. They got it all working. Thank you, guys, for doing that. I don't think anyone else noticed. But a lot of people did a lot of things to help it be an enjoyable time. And actually, Kim helped out. And Kim helped out with another one of the now, Kim's a teacher. And she didn't say, I deal with kids all the time. That's my job. I want to go to a conference and relax. She did this so the kids could have a good time. What a noble thing. Now, once in a while, kids need a little special attention, right? They're in a new place, and they need a little special attention. I love this picture. This is great. Here's Linda, right? Now, I don't know what this little girl is saying, but she was getting some personal attention from where she was. And Linda does that with people all the time. You know that if you know Linda. So I think that's a great picture of who Linda is, giving herself. So, why do we do all this? This conference is not structured really to witness or testify to people. It's structured to build up the church. We have a place to go to help each other, to encourage each other, that we can be built up in what God has promised. That's what it's made for. And Paul said he was giving his life to reach people. This is what he said. In Corinthians, he said, this is what I give my life to. He says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. That I've become all things to all people. I give myself to this cause that I might reach some of them, that I might see some of them come to their senses. And people see these qualities. They see people caring for other people. They see people with real character. and respect for each other. And they go, wow, that's attractive. That is really attractive. So sometimes I wonder about what some of the staff and people think of this. So I told you that I had done this. I wanted to get some pictures of the thing, of the whole facility. So I brought my drone, which I normally do. But from some of the work around the church here, I had strained my back pretty badly. By the time I got to the conference, I was in pretty bad shape. To the point where it was like if I bent over, sometimes I says, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up, which is not normal for me, but it had gotten to that point. So I'm out in the back of the facility flying my drone. I land it, and I'm trying to pick it up. I bend over, and I get down on the ground. I reach out to pick up my drone and fold it up, and then I go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up. Because the pain gets so bad, I just kind of fall over sometimes. And so I'm there. This seems silly, but trying to stand up, right? And then a guy comes up behind me and says, looks like we got a man down here. And I go, are you okay? And I go, I don't know. I don't know. Now, there's thousands of people at this facility. You know who that was? That was our sound guy, Josh, in the parking lot talking to the broken-down old man who couldn't stand up. Now, I didn't know it was our sound guy. The conference hadn't started yet. But we got a relationship, and he says, hey, can you take some pictures of me doing this? I said, sure, no problem. We had an opportunity to connect. By all chance that we might save some. You never know. You never know. So here's one thing I wanted to leave you with, or one ending part. So I've talked about vision and the family. This is a family with a purpose. We're endeavoring together and laboring together. If you look at it, I'm really proud of how much, really, that's the spirit of our church. We all labor and work together. You just saw it, and you see it every day, that God might use us to help people see the truth, because they don't. They've been deceived. They don't. So here's what Paul said to Timothy, talking about Timothy's life. Now, Timothy's a leader. He's a pastor. He said, this is what he said to them, though. This is chapter 2 again. Do your best. Your best. To present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has not been ashamed of handling the word of truth. I thought about that. Do your best. Whatever your best is, to give your best to God, your best. I think about that for myself. And I wish I could say I gave my best all the time, consistently. We're learning how to do that. Do your best. And he gives them other advice after this, more specific. Avoid irreverent babble for or lead people into more and more ungodliness. There's a lot of people arguing about a lot of little things. Don't get involved. This is the ESV version. He talks about this talk, how it will spread. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them, this had happened, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He had an example. He says, these people have gotten into these controversies which got them off track. Got them off track of the main mission of the church and our mission. They got off track. They got caught up in the way of the world and arguing about nothing. Who have swerved from the truth. They're saying the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith. So you just don't want to get involved in things that get off track. So I'm going to wrap up here in that we are the church of God. I've talked about our church family, some of your extended family. And here are some things, or three things you can maybe walk away with today. I was thinking about this. Vision for your life. As we look through this, over the next several weeks, what is the vision for your life? That was Thomas saying, you're going to end up spending your life. Have you ever written this down? I was searching on one of my hard drives. I actually did write this down for my life. I wrote it down in 2011. And it was
good to look at it again. Think about that over the next several weeks. What is the vision for your life? Ever thought about what are you giving your life to and how do you do it? Next one, commit to know and serve to build your family. You are already doing it. You really are. But the people I see up there are doing it their whole life. That's what your goal is, to do it for your whole life, as long as you can. And lastly, and we're all maturing in our own way, what would it mean for this year for you to give your best? Your best. What would it mean to do that for you? To help each other, to encourage each other, to help people see the truth of how real God is. So with that, why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. We'll go from there. God, thank you. Thank you so much for family. Thank you so much for laboring together. Thank you so much for a chance to be encouraged by what you said. Help us to see how good you are in your son's name.